Oh, we have got so much information about safety, preparedness. September is get ready, do everything you're supposed to do month. But in the studio this morning, we're talking about some fire prevention, what the city is doing about canvassing neighborhoods over at the university, et cetera, et cetera. So we have Fire Marshal Jay Davis, we have Fire Marshal Britt Grimm, and we have UVA Fire Safety Officer Gerald Drumheller. Do I get it right?
You got it right.
All right. Okay,
All right, so what are the odds y'all are all going to jump up and go running out in the middle of this interview right now?
Right. No, nobody do that.
Unless there's a fire, Jane, then that's a little more pressing.
Yes, it is. Tell me, Jay, what you've been doing. You've been canvassing certain neighborhoods this week. Yet today, yesterday, and the day before. Is that right?
So yeah, we started Tuesday afternoon where we canvassed yesterday afternoon, and we'll be out this afternoon in the Lewis Mountain neighborhood area.
All right. Are these areas that you're taking particular attention to or paying particular attention to because they're close to the university?
Yeah, so as the UVA students have returned back this fall, one of the concerns we have is off-ground housing students in and around the university area. They live in the city, they live in houses that are close to the university, but they're university students. So one of our big concerns for this year, and just to back up a little bit, so when a student goes off to college, they live in a dorm, generally their first and second year. Those dorms are protected with a fire suppression system and a fire detection system. And they're also inundated every year. As students will tell you know, the fire marshals come out, they do fire drills, they have safety talks, and they make sure that they're aware of their safety during those periods when they're in the dorms. Well, when they move out of those dorms, they move into either large apartment buildings or they move into what we call single-family homes or buildings that are very small. And they don't have fire suppression, and they don't have or not they don't necessarily have smoke alarms. And so one of our big concerns is that early notification is one of the best things that we can do to make sure that they're safe. So we want to make sure they have smoke alarms in these buildings. So that's the purpose for the canvassing. Along with that, though, what we want to also do is try to give them the safety information they've heard all their lives and reinforce it again by asking them to do some safety checks in their own home and then pay special attention to one of the areas that we're most concerned about, and that's cooking. Leaving food or pots on the stove unattended, that's one of the causes of fires that we see. And so obviously, if we can prevent something from ever happening, then that's the best, right? So if we can prevent it from ever happening in the first place, that's great. But if it does, the early notification would be that smoke alarm. If we can make sure every home, and this doesn't necessarily is limited to UVA students, in those neighborhoods, there are also our citizens that live in Charlottesville. We want to make sure they're protected as well. So we're canvassing the entire neighborhood as best we can. So the message is for everyone, but at this time of year, with students being back at UVA, we're really after those areas, particularly where those off-ground housing students live.
It blows my mind in this day and age that there's still houses that don't have smoke detectors in them. But a lot of, I mean, we're blessed to have a lot of older homes around here. Architecture is beautiful and all that. But you guys still find places that don't have smoke detectors, don't you?
That is correct.
That blows my mind. How can that be?
Well, it is exactly what you said. When the buildings were built, you know, many, many years ago, there weren't requirements to have smoke alarms in them. So you have houses today that are required to have not only smoke alarms, but they have to be hardwired together. So you may have a house that has four or five smoke alarms in it. If one goes off, then they all go off, okay? But the older homes, they weren't required, and back when they were built, there wasn't even that technology out there at that point. So what we're trying to do is go back and retrofit a house with a battery-powered detector that's local. So it's going to go off right where it's at. It won't communicate to any other detectors. But right now, that's the technology we have, and that's what we're really trying to get out in the community.
Gerald, you were telling me before we went on the air that this program is what? How old is this program? Based on a fire on Wirtland.
Yes, I think it's back in 2013. We had a house fire on Wirtland Street. 13 students lived there. 11 were home at the night. At the time it happened on the outside. some fire occurred on the porch, and this kind of drove it home that we need to really make sure our students are aware of things. And we're very thankful through the collaborative effort of Charlottesville Fire Department, our Housing and Res Life Program, off-ground housing manager, and NDS, Neighborhood Development Service, our property maintenance inspector. We all meet monthly to discuss the safety of students and fire, stuff like that. So we come up with this program called Stop and Knock, and that's what Jay's been referring to, that we're going to be doing this week. And we go along with them, and not only is it fire, we're talking about detection and things like that. We're just verifying that it's there. But we also talk about evacuation, the need to have an evacuation plan, everybody in the house know where their roommates are at, that type of thing, because someone is trapped, at least when the fire department gets there. So we just talk in general fire safety. We have several handouts that Jay does. We have a little bulletin called Fire Safety 101. It has a link to the actual fire. The night of that Wortland fire, we had some students who actually shot footage of the fire. It started on the outside of the porch, burned it up. You can see the students coming out. And it kind of hits home because they had never been through it. They lost everything that they owned. And that's very tragic to be able to talk to those students. And those headmates here, they're making those fire calls home to their parents who are out of state and that type of thing.
So that's what drove it.
And it's been a collaborative effort. I think it's expanded. And we're very appreciative of all the efforts of the fire department. One is helping us make this public knowledge.
Let me ask you this. Brett, maybe you can field this question. There's one thing about Stop and Knock and talking to the residents, sometimes students, but do you contact the owner of the building, the landlord? He's renting this to students, he or she, that they should maybe, before anybody signs a lease, make sure that those fire prevention methods are...
They do. The landlords... by city code are required to have smoke alarms installed in the houses. And so they take care of that up front. And actually quite a few of the houses that we spoke with folks over the last couple of days, their houses were recently renovated or the landlords had put new detectors or changed batteries. One of the problems you run into, though, and we were talking about smoke alarms, I think it's somewhere over 50% of the off-campus fire fatalities involve smoke alarms that either were missing or had been tampered with, meaning, it went off, while you were cooking, you burn a piece of toast and they pulled the battery on, the detector doesn't work. And so that's where we're really trying to focus on the occupants. In most cases, the landlords have done their job by making sure that alarms are in place, but we want to make sure the occupants understand the value of those alarms. And if they have a problem with them, either contact the landlord to change batteries or replace them, or contact the fire department who can provide free smoke alarms for them.
All right. So this canvassing thing, particularly around the off-grounds area, I know you guys started this like a year or two ago. Have you guys pretty much canvassed the whole area and doubling back now, or how much is left to do?
Well, you got to remember, we started a couple of years ago, and yes, we canvassed the same areas. We predominantly concentrate on areas where UVA students are at. You got to remember, our UVA students change over every year, so it may be the same houses. Yes,
right.
We're going to the same houses, but we're seeing different faces and things like that. And I will say too, what Brett was talking about the landowners and landlords stuff like that. They've been working with the university and the fire department collaborative effort as well, and we really appreciate their efforts in making sure that everything's taken care of. We're just going back and reinforcing safety. As Britt said, sometimes people disarm things. So it's a collaborative effort. It's a community effort. And that's one thing we want to stress. Yes, we started this because of UVA students, but our students are living in it. We are part of the – UVA is part of the community, and we're trying to make sure that the community is safe and all these organizations involved there as well. So we're very appreciative of that.
Now, you mentioned one of the most common is cooking fires, and that – every couple of months around here, whether it's the city or the county or whatnot, there's a darn cooking fire because it seems to be one of the
fire was contained to the stove.
Right. And
fire
the thing
was contained
is, though,
to
and
the
it's
oven.
Human nature, when you see a fire, you're like, oh, God, get some water and throw it. But that is just going to make a cooking fire worse 99.9% of the time, is it not?
So, yep, that's correct. So if you have if you're cooking anything on top of a stove and it's contained into a pot, if you have, let's say you're cooking with grease and you put water on grease, what you're going to do is you're going to splatter it all over the place, right?
Well, that makes sense when it's not on fire.
Yeah,
Yeah. But when it's burning, you're like, oh, I got to put the fire out.
Yeah, so to prevent anyone from getting burned and to prevent, you know, the potential for spread of fire, again, I go back to what I said earlier. It's early notification. The sooner we can get notified, the sooner everyone's out of the house, the better for everyone, right? Half of our job is over if everyone's out of the house, then all we have to deal with is the fire itself, right? If there's still people in the house, that's our primary objective. So we're going to try to make sure everyone's evacuated first. So if you have a kitchen fire, if you have a pot that, you know, gets too hot, that detector is going to give you that notification. Then what we want you to do is get out of the house, right? Get out of the house and then dial 911 so we can get there and do our job.
How important is it to form a single file line before you get out of the house? Because that's what they used to teach us in school. I can never see the point in that.
We don't need to hold hands either. We can just go out of the
just
house.
Just go.
Right? You know, it's like the Seinfeld
episode. The older
children
take the younger ones. Yeah.
It's like the Seinfeld episode where George trampled all the kids at the birthday party because the smoke alarm went off.
Right.
And why is it, seriously, and I understand because we're coming within a couple of months here of the fallback thing where you're supposed to change the batteries. I don't do it until they start beeping. Mm-hmm. Why are they all set to only beep in the middle of the night? Why do the batteries always die?
That's
your punishment for not changing it when
that's
you were
right.
supposed
yeah,
to.
We designed those detectors so that they are only going to do that when you're home. So we know you're going to be home about 12 o'clock at night, so that's when they go
You know,
off.
Though, I swear, I have never had one that just started beeping, and it's always after I've gone
to
bed.
It's 3
and
o'clock
that's when
in the morning.
The fires start is when you go to bed.
Well,
so they're
the
making you practice how to get out of bed and deal with it. I just made that up. I think it makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense to me.
Sounded good.
Well, actually, reinforcing that on the serious side, again, looking at student-related fire fatalities, the vast majority of those occur after midnight. It's midnight to 6 o'clock in the morning. And so, you know, I mean, we sort of joke about the detectors, you know, chirping at night. Mine certainly do because I don't change my battery when
I
should. Right.
Either.
You know, same thing.
I keep batteries at home now, the 9 volts.
Middle of the night though is the time we really want those things to work because that's when people are least aware of what's going on around them.
Right.
So, middle of the night.
The problem with that is the last time one of my batteries went dead, I formed a single file line and stood in my front yard for three days, and there was never a fire.
Right. He made the cats change.
Well, at least you got out. Thank you.
The cats don't like them, by the way.
Oh, no.
You have this really cool home safety checklist. If anybody wants to get it, how do they get on to your website, Jay?
Yeah, so we have our website that's fairly new. We're trying to upload a lot of safety information, and we'll have that on the CFD website. But we will be passing this information out as we're out in the communities. And anyone that's interested in getting a safety check sheet or having the fire department come out and help them with the safety check sheet, they can give us a call. And I'll give you a number if anyone is wants to write the number down. I'll give it out now. It's 434 is the area code, 970-3247, and that's my office number. And we will get you the information. We will also have individuals that will come out and help you with it. One of the big questions on the survey is, do you have a chimney and is it clean? Well, very few buildings in the city, especially larger buildings, are going to have a chimney. So there might be some individuals that will ask, well, I don't know if I have a chimney and I don't know if it's clean or not. So we can help you with those kinds of questions that are on that form. And anyone that, you know, when you're looking at that, if you're having trouble with trying to figure out what's there or if you have any questions about what it's saying, we want to make sure that you get the answers that you need so
I'm
you're
glad
able
you
to check that off.
Jane is good about getting her chimney cleaned. I am not good about getting my chimney cleaned.
I'm good about it now because I forgot about it for a while, let me put it that way. And when the chimney sweep came to my house, he said I was on record as having more soot in the chimney than he'd seen in a year.
That's because he hadn't been to my house yet.
Right.
And I'm not proud of that, but it's one of those
things.
I have the best of intention
now,
every year.
Every other year. The more you use your fireplace, the more frequently you have to have.
And since we've got the panel of experts here, those the logs you're supposed to be able to burn to get the junk out of there, they don't really work, do they?
We don't really promote those very much, no.
I'm
Get a professional to clean your chimney the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Right.
All right. You know. So what's the Charlottesville Fire Department website? No, I'm just kidding.
Can't quote you that one right now.
Okay.
No.
We'll look it up and put a link
CF.
If you don't know, don't be giving it out, Jane.
All right, just go to Charlottesville Fire Department you can find all this stuff.
We're almost out of time. My last question. Do you guys enjoy it when you go knocking at these doors of these students and they flip out because y'all are standing there at their front door?
Oh, hey, no, they don't flip out. We do enjoy it. We love the interaction. As a matter of fact, the other day we ran across a couple of students that used to be RA, resident advisors, and they remembered us. And that was a big plus that, you know, they can remember us and remember some of the things we've done. But no, it's a big thrill to be able to help the students. So they do ask some very informative questions and stuff like that. So it works out well for us.
Now, daylight savings time is going to end, and what do we do when daylight savings
ends? Change your oil, clean the chimney. I don't know.
Change the battery.
Rotate your tires,
get the oil change, and call your mother.
See, if it was one thing.
Check your smoke detector.
If it was one thing, I would remember it. But Jane gives me a list of like seven things, and
it grows.
It's the honeydew list.
It grows every year.
Well, just listen to our list. Change your batteries. Everything else will take care of itself.
All right. Jane, you heard that. They told me to ignore you and listen to them. Gentlemen, thank you all so much for
coming. Thank you. We appreciate it.
We appreciate it.